Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell. Let's go, baby. We got 4 hours of nonstop hijinks and hilarity.
Excited about Rockets Nuggets today. It's going to be exciting.
It's not Rockets Nuggets. It's actually tomorrow, and it's Lakers Nuggets. So there's that. Mm. Yeah, game one of that. No, it's not. There is no... When, maybe after game one, pretty exciting. You know what? This could go six. You know what? Pretty exciting. The Rockets won game one. This could be a long series, longer than we thought. Yeah, no. It's a five-game series.
Pretty excited.
Pretty exciting.
Pretty excited. What do you think? Do you still think, can it go seven? Do you think they can win it? I think they can go six.
I thought
now.
It was going to be a long series.
I thought it was going to be five, is what I said initially.
That's the whole problem.
I thought they could get one.
This is not brain surgery. I emceed the Touchdown Club private school event last night, and I swear to God, everybody says the same thing. This is not brain surgery. They just didn't have the heart. When you're watching Boston and Miami play, and you're watching the Lakers, and you're watching Denver play, you're like, holy crap, they just look like their hair is on fire all the time. It's so important, and the Rockets have none of that, none of that. It just is like, whatever, here's the ball for James with that pass behind his back that he does all the time. And
next up's going to be the coaching search.
That's the culture thing. Now, I heard AJ, did you get this out of it? AJ yesterday says, well, the Rockets say they need a culture change. What that means is it's a black head coach. And I was like, that's not what culture change means.
I didn't think that's what they
mean. I don't think that's what it means either. I think it means somebody with an iron fist. That's what I think it means.
I think it means, well, because the obvious culture, all of us know the obvious culture, we know about this from behind the scenes. It's James's team. It was basically handed over to James. They can say whatever, Daryl Morey, but it's James's team. I mean, guys, he doesn't like Sam Decker, who was boys with Dwight Howard, you know, they're summarily pushed out.
Yeah, I was all right with Sam Decker being.
I don't care. I'm just saying it's not just Dwight. It's anybody who rocks with Dwight. So that's been going on. Well, whatever. It is what it is. I'm not too upset about it as long as it's not. I mean, he and Dwight weren't going to get along, and I was tired of Dwight's constant.
Yeah, Dwight anyway. It was done.
But
that was the start of James running the team.
Yeah, McHale, when he got McHale fired, really enforced it. And so that's what it is. I mean, James runs the team. James is the guy who is the mover and the shaker. He wanted his guy. They let Chris Paul. Well, Daryl had always tried to get Carmelo, but that was when Carmelo was a little better. At the end, it was already, you knew Carmelo wasn't really playing well. Like, why is Daryl still going after him? Well, it was Chris Paul's guy. But now you've got a situation where Chris Paul had to go because James didn't want Chris Paul either. So James has gotten rid of Kevin McHale, Chris Paul, Dwight Howard.
Sam Decker.
That's an obvious culture.
Right.
So to me, a culture change means we're not going to let James run the team. To me, that seems like that's the very obvious solution.
Yes, yes, yes.
Or not solution, but, solution, one. But also, that's the obvious reference to me.
That to me, too. When you have a culture and you're trying to change the culture, it's the attitude. And to me, that's the most important thing. To me, it's laissez-faire. To me, it's Ole defense. To me, it's, whatevs, we lost, I mean, the culture here with the organization, to me, seems like it's just whatevs. I'm going to Turkey Leg Hut. Now, I don't care if he goes to Turkey Leg Hut. He deserves to eat after the next day.
Would you rather have, would it feel better seeing him at Turkey Leg Hut? Or at a strip club, you'd be more upset about strip clubs.
I wouldn't be upset at all.
But the general.
Well, are you telling me that since James has been back, he hasn't gone to a strip club?
I have no idea.
I don't either.
Maybe he doesn't like these new rules that are being strictly enforced at strip clubs.
All right, gun to your head. I'm going to put a gun to your head right now. James has been to a strip club or hasn't? Which one is it?
I need to think about this.
No.
Because they're probably, he's going to go somewhere where there's no rules. Like no one, like you, masks are optional. But I know that I like to act like masks are all being worn. I drive by a strip club every morning and strippers and customers are coming out. Yeah, nobody has masks on.
What are they?
It's a joke.
Any good ones? Or I mean, good clients is what I'm saying.
I don't know. I'm just driving by, but I see them just about every morning. Tons of cars there. No one comes out with masks. I don't want to act like there's not a culture of people in strip clubs just like they've always been. So that would be more enticing probably to James or anyone who is a strip club aficionado than the masked up version and social, because social distance isn't happening.
No, it's strip clubs.
Are you 6 feet away? Huh. I really wish you would give me a dance, but you're not 6 feet away.
And 51% of their sales are food. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have we capped this are we at 50% capacity right now?
Well, what they do, they charge you, $100 for every taco, and then they charge you 10 cents for a drink. So there you go. There we go. Mm. Yeah. So, yeah. But you got to have about 4 or 5 tacos now. Okay. So you better eat up.
It's a 4 taco
eat
minimum.
Up. Anyway, so. No, so, listen, no,
with your gun to my head, I'm probably saying, I mean, yeah, it's going to be less crowded on a weekday. I'll say yes.
He likes strip clubs. Go to strip clubs. I don't give a rat's ass.
Yeah.
That's not the point. The point is that the culture of this organization is James Harden. And James Harden doesn't seem, and I don't want to say he doesn't have the heart. He works hard and he wants to win and blah, blah. He just doesn't know how to win. He just doesn't know how to win at the highest level in the most important times. He just doesn't do that. So what you need is somebody that's going to come in here and change him and change the way he goes about it at the most important times. James wins. James is a winner. They win games all the time. They're not it's not a crappy team. It's a good team. It makes the playoffs. It's gotten to the Western Conference Finals. But they can't get over that hump. They need somebody that's going to get over the hump. Not somebody that's just going to go, okay, James, it's okay. Just do what you do, James. You're good. That's not going to change any culture here. That what's got to change is when you're playing at the highest level, you give it the most intensity. And that, to me, is what doesn't happen here.
I know. And the culture change needs to be about having dogs on the court at all times. But, once again, I thought they really did play with a tremendous intensity. They were one of the best defensive teams in the bubble in the playoffs. They just, I think small ball got them more than, I think small ball really got them more than anything in the bubble, because once the Lakers started running them off the three-point line, they didn't have the volume of three-point shots, as you've alluded to. And, they just weren't great at finishing. Like, they got a couple really good finishers. Actually, they got 3 really good finishers. Eric Gordon's a pretty good finisher. Russ and James are great finishers. But everyone else, they're out there trying to shoot threes, and they're not even in their average three-point shooters.
And not average, they're below average. They had one guy all year, McLemore.
Well, PJ from his spot is pretty good from his spot.
Yeah, but he didn't shoot well this year. Neither Derek Gordon, neither did... I mean, Covington came in and
shot well.
He shot well, but he wasn't in the top...
McLemore in limited time shot well.
Yeah, but that's the thing.
Rivers shot
He's
terrible.
Out there very, very seldom.
I didn't think it was like they were lazy dogs or anything like that in the playoffs. I think they just got out...
Well, what about the last couple of games, though? There was no intensity.
Well, I thought the last game was... Well, yeah, actually, it's the next to last game, too. Yeah, you're right.
No.
It's actually next to last game I thought was embarrassing, and the last game was over in the first quarter like most elimination games.
And when you're down 2-1, that's when you should have your most dog.
Yeah.
I mean, look, Denver, down 3-1 twice, and they came back. That's
Yeah, that was really a pathetic... down 2-1, that effort was it was just so poor for the Rockets. But anyway, that's kind of some Rockets talk. The next thing up for the Rockets is we're going to be waiting. We don't have to worry about draft or anything, but I
don't have to worry about that whole draft thing.
Oh, I saw
bad draft.
David
who
Weiner,
cares?
David Weiner, who is from Clutch Fans and Buy My Thug, is his name there on Twitter. He was pointing. He showed their draft picks from this year to 2026. It's like nothing. There's like nothing.
He's giving them all away.
Anybody who takes over this team has to understand they don't have draft picks to work with.
No.
It is terrifying. I honestly, legitimately, don't know what this is going to be. This is the Daryl Morey should just be called Daryl Blaine, because he's frozen in a block of ice with, you know, above the suspended 500,000 feet above, you know, the Grand Canyon, and he has sharks underneath. Because I don't know how he's going to escape this. This is going to have to be Daryl Blaine's greatest escape of all time. This is going to have to be his greatest magic trick or illusion or whatever it is, just escape artist. Because I don't know how you escape three long contracts, two bad ones, and no draft picks, and a bunch of tiny guys. Like, how is he going to escape this one?
Put him and in no money.
Times Square.
And up and against no the money. Cap.
Up against the cap. Yeah, probably
with
luxury
three
tax
guys,
kicking
basically,
in at some
you're
point.
Up against the cap.
I mean, I don't know what Daryl Blaine is going to do, but I can't wait to see how this one works out. I don't know how he's going to pull this one off.
That's why I think Daniel House has got to come back. He's your only young guy that's actually a value buy. James is a value buy. He's worth more than you pay him. Eric Gordon's not. Russ is not. You know, PJ, I guess, yeah, Covington probably, but they're not young guys. They're that you got a young, one young guy, one basically that plays for you. That's it. McLemore, I guess McLemore comes back because he did shoot well, but if he doesn't play any defense, well, you know, what's the he's a liability defensively when you've already got liabilities on the floor. You know, Dell's talked about that. How many liabilities can you play defensively? Well, you better hit a bunch of threes, man. You better hit a bunch of threes. And oh, by the way, get a big guy that can actually play. Get a big guy. Get a big guy that can grab a rebound. Don't get out rebounded 2-1. The Lakers out rebounded them one game 52-26. That's unbelievable. 52-26. That's just ridiculous. Get some guys who can grab a board. That's kind of a, I don't know. I've always thought rebounding, yeah, it's kind of important every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Not to the Rockets. It's not, just no, that's all we care about is making threes. And we don't care that much because we don't get good shooters.
I would say, I think that is part of the, you know, it's a really interesting concept. Analytics across all sports. There's certain areas of perceived importance that they have done studies on that they recognize historically, and they just do this off numbers, that it has less importance than you think, or it's not as important if you do something else. Like the analytics movement, a lot of it is really hyper. It's an elevated sense of common sense when you some of the things you hear them talk about, like, oh wow, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. There's other things where they'll say things just like, there is no, you know, stolen bases are bad.
Yeah, right.
Bunts are bad. They'll say some things where commonly held perceptions and perceptions of a sport are no longer, well, they believe are no longer valid. And I wonder if rebounding is one of those.
Well, why,
if you shoot a lot of threes.
Second chance points be kind of a big deal? If
yeah,
you stop them, but you have to stop them again and stop them again.
I would think that's probably not an analytics thing. That's just Daryl saying it's a necessary evil for us having to play.
Well, his point might be, well, yeah, they got all those rebounds. Did you see the 53s we put up? We were still able to put those up.
Yeah, that's probably what
except
it is.
Except they weren't against the
well,
Lakers,
so what
though.
What an analytics guy would probably say is how many points are created off of offensive rebounds. They come up with an actual number. They don't do it theoretically. They say, this is the number. And then how much of our three-pointers over their two-pointers, do we still have a cushion? Yes, we have a cushion. So it still makes sense if we get up our threes.
Well, they get out-rebounded all the time, and they still get up their threes. Except the problem with them was they didn't get their threes up.
That's
against
what I'm
the
saying.
Lakers.
If you give up a bunch of rebounds and you don't get your threes up, that's a big problem.
Here's a big problem, is you with your car. And I don't know what kind of car you're driving, or I don't know what kind of payment you're making, and I don't know if it's bad for you right now. I do know this, a Chastang Ford. How about this? 2020 Ford Expeditions, $20,000 off. $20,000. And you say, well, I don't know what that means. I'll tell you what that means. That means that whatever the list price, what the suggested retail price is, they're giving you $20,000 off. And when you go to Chastang Ford, you really get $20,000 off. They got the F-150s four doors starting at, now this is hard, concrete. It starts at $28,999. Are you kidding me? And $10,000 off all 2020 F-150 XLT crew cabs. That's a. Are you kidding me? That's where you're starting on the F-150s. Four doors, $28,999. This is the time to buy. And when you go there, there's no dealer add-ons like paint seal, fabric seal, window etching, nitrogen in the tires. Okay, give me my nitrogen. I want it for free. So the other dealerships, you're probably going to pay $3,000 more when they get all that stuff added on, not at Chastang Ford. You can buy at home, Chastang at home. You can value your car. You can do everything from your laptop at ChastangFord.com. And you can go to the dealership as well. It's sanitized. It's wonderful. It's on 610, it's Homestead, not Hempstead. 5 minutes from downtown. It's Chastang Ford.
ESPN. 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, nice job by the offense last night helping out Lance McCullers. That was awesome. That was, how about score a flipping run? A run. Guys.
What did you think of McCullers?
He was great.
So we're still kicking him out of the playoff rotation?
Yeah.
Why?
Kitty.
I don't know.
We'll see. He might like McCullers better. I don't know. I have no idea what Dusty does. I have no idea what Dusty ever does with the pitching staff. But,
yeah.
Hey, Yuli, you got to catch that ball at first base or pick it up.
You have one job as a first baseman. To dig some balls and catch anything difficult outside of
it. And the ball was sitting right next to him, and he couldn't pick it up. Come on, Yuli. Now, Yuli's actually turned into a good first baseman.
No, he's gotten way better.
Oh, no. He was a liability when he started. 5 years later, dude is pretty damn good.
I'm going to tell you something. McCullers was so good yesterday. That's not a great lineup, but McCullers was so good. We have seen him be, and this is really throughout his career. It's not just this year, but this year's been a microcosm. He's had injuries, soreness. He's had some great, great innings. He's had a bad inning that turns into a blow up. His career has been, once he gets rolling downhill on you, you're in a lot of trouble. Because if he's snapping off that breaking pitch, he's going to have high strikeout totals. He's going to have high swing and miss totals. And you're going to have a hard time hitting him. And that was yesterday. He gave up 2 hits in 7 innings. I was shocked he went 7 innings.
Mm-hmm.
It's rare that Lance ever goes 7 innings.
I know, and Dusty left him in there.
That was insane that he was able to go 7 innings. But he only went 86 pitches, dude. 86 pitches. Lance McCullers doesn't locate like that. He usually is off.
Mm-hmm.
He's usually a high strike. Because he's a high swing and miss guy, he's usually a high pitch count guy. And if he gets through 6, it's unbelievable. For him to go 7, strike out 8, he had no walks, only gave up 2 hits. I thought he was fantastic. And to me, that version of Lance McCullers, now, I just think mentally, once he runs into, I think he has a hard time getting out of jams. I think adversity still causes him to go to a bad place on the mound where he's not able to bear down. But when he's right, he's really, really good. I still think it would be, I still see it as, you know, what it could be is if Verlander came back, and once again, it's no signs he's coming back other than he's pitched and he's going to face live pitch. We haven't been given any timetable. But if Verlander came back, then Verlander, Greinke, obviously, you're 1-2. I think McCullers, who's actually pitched more, would be the 3. And then if you won that series, you would come back with Urquidy to start the next one. That's what I think. I think you would have a 4-man rotation because you would want to give Justin Verlander maybe a little more time, potentially, depending on how it worked out.
Well, I know the next series is going to, now you're gonna have to travel. I think you're still going to Oakland. I don't know. I gotta look at it. Every day it changes because they're so close. The division leaders are so close. So every day it could change. I'll look it up. But wherever you go, so you're gonna play game 1, game 2, hopefully game 3, or maybe not. If you win in 2 games,
well, yeah, it doesn't matter.
Then it doesn't matter.
But then you definitely wouldn't have. Then you definitely have to go through third.
Well, you still got to wait for the other series to end.
Yeah.
And that might take a little while. And then you have to travel. There will be a travel day. So Verlander might be able to start in game 1 of the next series anyway. You might not have to go 4 after the first series. It depends on the travel and everything else. If there's 4 days in between, you know, that once game one of the first series and game one of the next series, then you might have Verlander available. But you're right. You might need a four starter.
I mean, look at this right now. I'm just going to read just batting average just for simplicity's sake. Springer, 240. Tuve, 221. Mm-hmm. I think it's safe to say he's not getting to 300. Brantley, professional hitter, 295. He's now below 300. He was 0 for 4 yesterday. Bregman, 263. Kyle Tucker, 251. Yuli, 260. Correa, 269. Reddick, 240. Maldonado, 243. I'm going to be honest with you. These are the same numbers we saw from like the 2007 Astros.
Yeah.
It doesn't look any different.
Well,
how many guys are 240 or below 250? One, two, three, four. Four guys in your lineup and below 270, all but one. All but Michael Brantley are below 270. And I'm including Bregman, Yuli, Altuve, Correa, who had gotten off to a hot start. Remember when Correa was off to a hot start? Carlos Correa right now, his OPS is 730. The hot start thing is irrelevant anymore. His OPS is 730. He's closer to 700 than 800 with an OPS.
Yeah. I mean, no, they're not. They're this is more like, you're right. This is 2015-ish. But they're not without the home runs, without all the home. And yet it's one of the they score runs. They just I don't know. They score them in bunches and then they suck. It's so up and down. This is not. So they absolutely would have the division series don't start until October 5th. So the wild card series start on September 29th. So there would be five games. Verlander would start game one of the next series. So you don't have to worry about a four starter. Anyway, this lineup is just. It sure would be nice to have Yordan. It sure would be nice, but he's not here. He ain't coming back anytime soon. It sure would be nice to have Altuve, or at least a slight resemblance of Jose Altuve. It's just not. He's not the same guy. Something, and it's not somebody. Jeff tweeted. The Astros are one-run game, got shut out. Are they proving they need trash cans? David, no, I don't think so. This is not about trash cans. I think this is about Jose Altuve pressing and trying to prove something all year long. I didn't think it was possible for him to suck. I didn't either. I did not think this.
Well, but he did suck. Was it last year before he got to 300?
Yeah, but at least he got out of it.
He got to 300, so I didn't think. I'm like, eh.
Yeah.
Who cares, that one little thing? And in no way do I think that they were cheating last year. At least, I mean, I don't think it hasn't really. It is going to look so suspicious to everyone now, and I have to think that they're all pressing. Is there a chance that they never said or weren't caught, and that they were doing something last year that gave them advantages? I mean, I guess there's a chance. Certainly, people outside of Houston believe there's a chance.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so, but then again, I wasn't all in on the steroid stuff. I thought that was like, nah, it's not steroids, aren't. And I was just, yeah, there were steroids were running rampant through all of sports. So I've been very, you know, is Sammy Sosa white? I'm like, no, he's clearly Dominican. And then I saw he looks like Liza Minnelli now or Michael Jackson. I'm like, wait, I didn't think that was possible. So I've just been very naive to the things that are out there in baseball. Rafael Palmeiro told me, I did not use steroids when I hit. I'm like, he just said he didn't do it, guys.
Then he That's it.
Like,
it's over.
Then he got busted, and then he hit like 170.
Mm.
I don't know. I mean, I'm a sucker for, guys, I'm sure they're doing the right things. That's how I am with the Astros. I don't want to believe anything happened last year. They swear it didn't. Major League Baseball didn't find anything. And the Astros had to, you know, if there's any way you're going to unburden yourself, you're going to unburden yourself. You know, then again, I guess flip side of that would be Mike Fiers wasn't on the 19 team, and there were no snitches on the 19 team, only on the 17 team.
Right. Well, I I don't know if they were cheating or not. I just and I don't think Jose Altuve was a big part. I think he's in just a bad place. That's all. And he's pressing and swinging at crap every single. But you think he would come out of it? He is a You want to talk about a professional? He's a great hitter, not a He's a great hitter, and this is just ridiculous. Maybe it's going to take him 60 games, and in the playoffs he just explodes. We'll see. I gotta believe that dude is gonna be good. I gotta believe at some point Jose Altuve wakes up from this nightmare he's in and says, I'm gonna hit. And until he does, though, you know, Bregman's not the same guy. Springer's not the same guy. None of them are the same guy. None of them. Bregman was one of the best hitters in baseball. He was, he finished second in the MVP voting, didn't he? Last year? Wasn't he second? I mean, are you kidding me? These are these guys that was a merry-go-round, a circus in 2017. They're not even a shadow of that team. Not even a shadow. 727 ESPN 97.5. We got the Crew de Rue. The Crew de Rue is putting on the Dirty Birdie Golf Classic next Friday, and it's at South Shore Harbor, and we're going to go. Dell can't wait. I've never seen Dell was jumping up and down this morning thinking, we're going to South Shore on Friday. I was like, yeah, Dell, we will. It'll be fun. He's like, I can't wait. So, I mean, he's really excited, and you just don't see that out of Dell too much. So here's the deal. If you're looking for a great fun time, it's next Friday. It's a Friday. You can take off of work. You can come enjoy all the great food and drink out there. And trust me, there's a lot of drink. There's giant music playing, blaring on the speakers out there. You can hear it because we'll be broadcasting live. You'll hear all the music. Don't worry about it. So if you're looking for just a good time, head by all. The Elmina Shriners are going to be benefiting. Ronald McDonald House is going to be benefiting. And the American Heart Association is going to be benefiting. So it's a great cause, and it's just a lot of fun. South Shore Harbor. Go to ESPN975.com. Go to the promotions tab. ESPN975.com. Promotions tab. Buy a team. Buy yourself. Doesn't matter. You'll have fun with whoever you're put with. It's the Dirty Birdie Charity Golf Classic, sponsored by De Crew de Rue.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. We were sent this. Why Your Team Sucks 2020.
It's Drew Maggery.
Yeah. He's pretty funny. And it is so. I mean, the Texans are basically the laughing stock.
Drew Maggery has always, Sean and John used to get him on all the time on their show back at 1560. You know, they used to have on Matt Ufford, Clay Travis, Drew Maggery. All the guys who are new media when Twitter was first getting big and new media with Leather was the site, I think was Matt Ufford. Drew Maggery was Deadspin when it first started. I can't remember where Clay Travis was. He might have been the same. I can't remember. But a bunch of guys, and I understand now people get mad about certain guys, and like Drew Maggery's way left, apparently. Clay Travis, way right. Now, whatever the case may be. I'm talking about the sports stuff that's in here. Drew Maggery has always nailed the Texans. It's like he has an insight. And there's no way you could know the little idiosyncrasies of all 32 teams. He's got to be getting them from somewhere. It's like he had stuff that it would have seemed like I was feeding him info about the Texans. Somebody must have been feeding him info about the Texans, because he always knows the little things that like Texans fans would know.
Yeah, well, but I was amazed when we were in New York when we had Canty on, and Chris Canty was on, and he was dead on. Remember when we were what we were in New York for? Did we go to a Texans game or what was it? Remember we were broadcasting from New York, and Chris Canty was on with us.
Yeah, it's the Astros.
Was it the Astros? And yeah, Yankees. Yeah, it was Astros Yankees. Anyway, we were talking to him about Bill O'Brien, and he nailed everything. Nailed everything that we were. I just think that we're. I don't know, Bill O'Brien, I guess because of all of these guffaws, not guffaws, gaffes, all these gaffes that he's basically, everybody knows everything, how he screws up everything.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, just like.
But
Bill
he nailed Oprah. The. I mean, are people watching the Texans well enough to know that how bad he is at clock management? Chris Canty knew.
Yeah.
Of course, that's Chris Canty's job, so I guess he
Yeah, but
know.
That's crazy that he knows our team.
I know.
That he knows our team, but he was right. And read some of Drew Magary's stuff about Texans.
Yeah.
And tell me if he's right.
He's dead on. I mean, no. Well, he uses ugly words sometimes. Mm-hmm. He wrote 5131 about 1,000 times. All right? What has always sucked, 5131. Raheel always referred to 51-7 because that's right. where it was. And now,
the final score
82-14.
Right.
82-14 is now a thing.
Which used to be 82-7, actually, at one point.
Which was, no, well, it was 14 because the Texans started, it was 7-7. It was 7-0, actually. Texans scored first.
When?
Yeah, this last game.
Yeah,
it was 82-14 is what it is.
Yeah, but they scored two. They had 20 points.
No, it was 31-7. 31-7 plus 51-7 is 82-14.
Yeah. No, but they had.
No, but the run. The giant run.
The run that Kansas City was
the
on.
The one run, okay.
Yeah. That run. They were on an 82-14 run.
Yeah.
That's the run that they were on. It's nonstop. Here's how he starts it. He starts it with all the dumb things that they've done, right? Jadeveon Clowney lost to the Saints on a field and thought 37 seconds left on the clock wasn't enough for Drew Brees. Failed 2-point for conversion. They almost lost to Gardner Minshew. Lost the game to Kyle Allen, and then Derrick Henry beat him up for 200 yards. Those are fairly benign for a Bill O'Brien-led organization, almost minimal, especially in retrospect. He says, it all started. They hung a 21-0 on the Chiefs at Arrowhead. All they had to do after that was convert a 4th-and-1 deep in Chiefs territory, then make a 28-0. And since then, this organization has been in a free fall. And truth be told, I guess that is. I know I can point to the Astros' free fall, Osuna.
Right.
Bringing in Osuna.
Right. Even though you were close to winning a World Series even with them.
And the Rockets' free fall, Chris Paul's hamstring.
Yeah. That's the paradigm shift right there.
Right.
Like, here it was. This is where it all shifted.
This is where it all changed. Yeah. This is where it all changed. It all changed at going for it on kicking the field goal on 4th-and-1 and bringing in Osuna and
kicking a field goal or the fake punt, because the field goal came after the fake punt.
4th-and-1 deep in Chiefs territory. The field goal came first.
I thought the fake punt came first.
No, the fake punt came after that.
Because wasn't it fake punt and then they went kicked the field goal? I was like, what the hell are you doing kicking a field goal for when you already kicked a fake punt?
No, I think the punt came. Fake punt came after the.
The fake punt came after.
After
24-0, yeah. She's come down and score, and the Texans in Bill O'Brien's were trying to get momentum back. Fake the punt, they got stopped. There's 24-14 in a matter of minutes, and then it was over.
Right.
After that,
it started at the field goal. Like, what are you doing? Go for it, and then the fake punt after that.
Okay, because it said Texans attempted a fake punt while up 17-0 in their own territory.
That's wrong. It was 24-0. Chiefs, remember, they kicked the field goal. Hardeman had a big return. Chiefs score. Then,
Dale, how do you remember stuff that good?
Because
there's no, I can't trust your memory.
Oh, we're talking about people who forget things, and you think I'm the one you can't trust?
Yeah, I can't trust.
Well, and this is the quote, and he quotes this quote. Bill O'Brien, what the F are you doing, Bill? Who told you to call that fake punt? Who told you to call that effing field goal?
You're right. It is 24-0. Mm. They say. It was actually 24-7.
Yes, that's what he said. They came in on
down,
a score.
Up
17. And Bill O'Brien tried to get the momentum.
So they were up 17, but it wasn't 17-0. I got you. It was 24-7.
Right. Yeah, they were up 17.
Okay.
I just felt like we didn't have a great play there for the fourth down at that point in time. I mean, it's not my job. It's not my job to have a great play. What? What?
You need one.
You're the head coach. You're the offensive guy. You're the play caller. You don't have a fourth and one. That's the most. That is, and he was never called on that. Never been called on that.
Well, this is.
How do you not have a fourth and one play?
He's got a gigantic
IHOP menu, and he doesn't have a fourth and one.
Because the Astros got kicked out of baseball for trash cans. Right the same afternoon that he's supposed to be called on.
He should have called it. No. Right there on the spot.
Wait a minute.
Whoa. Yeah. You don't have a fourth and one play? What?
What are you talking about? You don't have a fourth and one play. Ask yourself this. The same mindset that has you going for it in your own territory up 17, that kind of aggressive mindset is absent when you need a yard?
Yeah. Right.
I mean, that is unbelievable.
I remember
people with the Chiefs were making fun of O'Brien. On the phone with me, they're like, dude, your coach is so stupid. And I said, well, what do you mean by that? Like, you can't just flip. Either you go into a game with a conservative mindset of this is how we're going to attack it, or you go in with an aggressive one.
Right.
He said, you don't flip-flop mid-game. He's like,
within minutes, he flip-flopped. He kicked the field goal. They came down to score. Then you fake punt.
I'm telling you right now.
I mean, that was within minutes.
Y'all think I'm joking. And these are multiple teams. And I'm talking about front office people, coaches. People just have a certain opinion about the Texans. It is not a regular standard opinion. And it's declined. Because everyone I talked to was always pretty good with Bill O'Brien. I didn't really talk to anybody who didn't think he was a pretty good coach. I think some of the moves he made, I think the general manager stuff has really hurt his cachet around
the league.
I'm being honest.
He is not a laughingstock.
On my kids, the contracts he's given out, the trades he's made with no idea about what the value of a trade pick is. Like Kenny Stills. Kenny Stills is worth about a fifth or sixth when they got him. You're taking on money. There's a sliding scale. You're going to take on money.
Right.
So you get a fifth or a sixth for him. In essence, he was given they gave a second for him.
Right.
You can't just give whatever somebody asks. But he just doesn't know.
I don't even want to talk. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Like Odell. Like, no. DeSean Hopkins is worth the same as Kenny Stills because he got a second rounder for him. I mean, that's what you're saying. That's what you're saying is that Kenny Stills and DeSean Hopkins are the same guy.
DeAndre. Goodness.
Oh, what did I say, DeSean? DeAndre Hopkins are the same guy. That's just ridiculous. But you know what? We had a preview of this. The you suck game. You suck two game. You suck two. And you suck two. Remember the fake punt against Denver in his own territory? And then Denver just went, whoa, thank you. And just went down and scored. And it was like, what the?
That's right before half, wasn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so stupid. And you're like, what are you doing, dude? What are you doing?
You know, that kind of stuff matters. And those aren't personnel moves. But that kind of stuff really matters as it pertains to Gary Kubiak. You know, Gary Kubiak, people started losing faith in Gary Kubiak. And I always thought Kubiak was a good offensive mind, but I didn't think he made great adjustments in game when things weren't good in the first half. And that's all I'll say about O'Brien, I think, is much better at that. However, people started losing faith and confidence in Gary Kubiak because remember how bad he was at challenges and clock management and challenges? He was just not good at all.
No.
I'll never forget he didn't challenge in Indianapolis. They had a chance to win in Indy against Peyton Manning. And I remember there was some play. We're like, dude, challenge. What are you doing? He just didn't challenge.
What about the Gronk non-challenge? That's not my job. The not my job challenge.
Yeah, and that's Bill O'Brien.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, wait. If it's not your job, it needs to be your job.
No, that is your job, to call a timeout so the referees can look at it. That's your job. Call a timeout. Goodness gracious, that is your job. That's your job. I mean, so defund Bill O'Brien. I don't think Cal's going to defund him.
You're not going to defund Bill O'Brien.
Anyway, so you can get it. What's this guy's name? Maggery? Drew Maggery?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's pretty good stuff.
It's pretty accurate.
Why your team sucks. He does it for all the teams.
Yeah, he does it for every team.
Every team. Why your team sucks 2020. And the Texans, I think, are better than anybody. Oh,
they give you a lot to work with.
Yeah. Yep. No, they give you plenty to work with. 742 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776. The number if you want to get in here. On ESPN 97.5. Orlando, we'll get you on the other side. He wants to talk about Bill. I'd like somebody to call in and have Bill's back. If you could do that, that would be great.
Why do you want to keep doing this?
Because I want to do that. I want.
What's
so
with
because
you?
Here's the deal. It's because people might be in their car right now disagreeing with us.
No, they're not.
How do you know that somebody's not disagreeing?
You asked for it last time and people called in and said, yeah, Bill isn't that terrible, I guess. He's just kind of terrible and stuff like that.
Yeah, no.
It wasn't no one.
One guy said.
And now we're after the Chiefs game.
Oh. One guy said he kind of liked him. It was better than like getting a tooth pulled or something. That's what one guy said. But people might disagree with us. I don't. You know what? We weren't done. I guess no, we have the pulse. I think we pretty much have the pulse. 743 ESPN 97.5. Orlando, we'll get you on the other side. But right now, I got to talk about GimmeTheVin.com. That's GimmeTheVin.com. John Clay Wolf isn't here to tell you stuff about that has absolutely nothing to do with GimmeTheVin.com. So there's that. But John Clay Wolf is a guy who will give you the most for your car. How about what was Houston Day when we had all three teams playing? He said, I'll give everybody another $500 on their car. He sold seven cars in Houston that day and gave them all of them put down Houston Day and they got another $500. That's just what John Clay Wolf do. John Clay Wolf will give you more for your car than anybody else. And if he can't beat CarMax, here's why. Here's the proof. If he can't beat CarMax, he says he's going to give you $100. He will just send you $100 if he can't beat CarMax's offer. Zane, who works here in Houston, works right here in his office, as a matter of fact, said he's only had to do that once in all the years that he's worked for John Clay Wolf because CarMax was stupid on their offer for this one car. So you're going to get the most for your car, period, exclamation point. And that's what you want when you sell your car. GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
All right, 745 ESPN 97.5. Let's get Orlando in here. We told him we'd get him in right away. Anybody else? 713-780-3776, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Listening to it this morning, you said it sounded great on 610, huh?
Yeah, yesterday when I was coming up 610. I can't remember. Oh, yeah, I was picking Alec up, but it was sounding really like where I would usually listen to 97.5. I actually will flip between them to see which one's better in which area of town.
Yeah, I was this morning. I think we were a little overmodulated on 92.5.
Well, we keep tweaking a little bit.
Yeah, they got a AD's working with it. Orlando, what's going on?
Morning, guys.
How are you?
I think good. I think I found a solution on how to fix this Bill O'Brien problem. I think probably John. Maybe if you go to his face, call him a bitch, and tell him to do his homework, maybe he'll turn his team around.
Yeah, I don't know that that's the answer. Bill's younger than me, and I just
hurt to try.
Yeah, no, I don't. I'm not going to go up to him and call him.
I might be honest with you. I wouldn't.
He's a mass hole. Let's not forget. I've heard he's got a temper.
I mean, ask Brock Osweiler.
Well, we heard about...
He got pressed up.
When he was pressed on why he traded DeAndre to the Cardinals for a second, he said, well, that's the one that worked out for us. So we know he will scout a trade beforehand. So he's not going to take kindly to you, you know, just suggesting, you know, look for teams to trade. You just can't suggest a trade. He's going to say, look, you can't call me a bitch because I have all these things sketched out. I don't think you can get away with it with him. That trade was fully fleshed out, and that's why we got a second round pick at David Johnson.
Yeah, you guys don't understand. When a guy is going to get a new contract, then you get less for him, right? Like for example, let's say Laremy Tunsil. So DeAndre Hopkins wanted a new deal, so we had to get rid of him. And look how much the Cardinals had to pay. Of course, it's 4 years down the road. But look how little we gave up for Laremy Tunsil. Just two ones and a two to get a Laremy Tunsil and then give him $4 million a year more than any other tackle in football.
Yeah, it does run contrary to their...
That little theory of his. Well. You guys don't understand. When you have a new contract coming up, you get less for him.
knowledge is power.
You know, every time you bring up the Laremy Tunsil thing, it just pushes me to go to tankathon.com/NFL and see, as the Texans lose games, what it means to their draft status, since those picks belong to me. Currently,
those picks belong to me is the worst thing I've ever heard.
Currently,
Dell's right. No, I mean, that just made me mad.
I know.
Hearing Dell say, I know, those picks belong to me. Now, it's like if the Rockets trade all their picks to the Heat.
Now, no, we don't want your stinky picks. Currently, because you're playing the Chiefs, and it has to build, because the Chiefs obviously have one of the best records in football, and strength of schedule determines your draft status. Okay, Chiefs are 1-0, so it's only 12th. I mean, Baltimore's probably going to beat you, so but it's still early, so it probably won't get me into the top 10. But let's keep piling them up. I can't wait to the point where I'm looking at a top 5 pick.
Well, you're going to need Indy to win, because they lost to the Jags.
That's true.
Right? You're going to need you better root for Indy this week.
Yeah, I'm going to need the Texans schedule to get I need them their teams to lose.
You need them to win.
No,
so that they move ahead of the Texans.
No, what the deal is, if I need the Texans to continue to lose, which is obviously what I'm looking for.
You need Indy to win.
Their strength of schedule has to continue to get worse, because if you're awful against a bad strength of schedule, then you go up the draft board.
I know. You need Indy to win.
Right now.
Yes.
But
yes.
Over 17 weeks, I need Indy to be bad and the Texans to lose then.
Right. You just need the Texans to continue on their trend now.
I need them to have the worst strength of schedule in football.
So in September, you're scoreboard watching.
Yeah.
For your draft, your Texans draft pick.
Currently, the Texans have the Dolphins have the 12th pick that belongs to the Texans. And I imagine after Sunday, it'll probably be right around there still.
Yeah.
But it never hurts to start looking at tankathon.
No. What you need badly is when they play the Jags.
To lose
at home. Then they go to Tennessee, lose.
Yeah, I need the Texans to lose to bad teams, and those bad teams to continue to be bad when they're not playing the Texans. Right. Yeah.
But, hey, the Minnesota game's a big game for you.
It is.
The Texans and Minnesota.
One of the biggest games of the year.
Game four. That'll determine a lot.
Yeah, I mean,
if you get the number one pick with the Texans and Trevor Lawrence is sitting there?
That depends on how much Tua.
Well, you know how many draft picks you can get for that?
But you might move Tua.
You might.
Possibly.
But Tua doesn't get you as much, but you really, I mean, you got to think that they would covet Trevor Lawrence more than Tua.
Well,
based on where he was picked.
Well, the magic man keeps playing the way he is.
We're
going to
probably
be long.
Find out.
You'll find out.
We're going to find out way earlier if his magic is gone.
Right.
Usually he likes to come in. He likes to come in during the season and give you false hope, like last year.
Right.
He comes in
give us false hope.
I try to tell y'all how good I was. Like, man, I'm telling you, just like whenever he's dressed like Conor McGregor, and he's taking Jameis Winston's job.
He's throwing for 400 yards a game in Tampa early on.
This guy's done this so many times in so many places. You stick him in a starter's role. What you get.
Don't worry if he has another 3-pick game against Buffalo, which is certainly in the cards. We'll probably find out about Tua really, really quickly. He's already a loss in 3 picks in for Ryan Fitzpatrick. But yeah, every week's a big week for me when the Texans are playing.
Mm-hmm. Will we see? This is a legit question. Will we see Lonnie Johnson more this week? And how do you view the matchup differently? And Bill O'Brien is really tap dancing around this thing. I have no idea. Because of all reports,
you'll figure it out. Read the answer. So weird.
Maybe you can get it, Dell.
Check
out the Texas site. But Lonnie Johnson, by all reports, was the starting cornerback.
Yeah, but he was. I heard he was a little banged up.
Yeah.
Like he did have an injury.
But then he was better?
I don't know.
So he healed by halftime. Because he played the second half. I mean, apparently he healed. It was a quick healing injury because in the second half he was out there.
I don't know. Maybe he got in trouble for something.
I don't know. There were some injuries involved there. So we felt like that was the best lineup for that week. We feel like we're healthier this week. Don't really want to get into the specifics there, but it's obviously week to week for us. I mean, There's really something cryptic in this whole thing. We'll be week to week pretty much the whole year when it comes to the secondary. In other words, he sucked this week, so we're going to go this way. And now this guy that was a scrap heap guy sucked this week, so we're going to go this way.
I'm going to read you the Texans. I don't think we're very honest. Read the Kahale Waring stuff, and I'll prove that.
Kahale Waring is up here. Oh, what was the nature of Kahale Waring's injury? Is that it?
Yeah, because he's on the...
Well, Kahale had a couple of things going on injury-wise, so we felt like to put him on the IR for, let's just call it, 3 weeks. See where he's at after 3 weeks. We felt like that would help him where he is injury-wise. So that was the decision we made yesterday. It really kind of happened on Monday, and so that's why it was made yesterday. So that's where it's at. Farrell Brown was in Cleveland. He's been in Oakland, and we just felt like he would be a guy that we thought could potentially help us, and so we brought him in on the roster.
Okay.
What's the connection with... So them and the Browns.
Well, today's the 17th, right? So you read where it said. Did you read the whole thing?
Yeah.
Where he talked about Monday. He got hurt Monday.
Yeah.
Kahale Waring.
It really kind of happened on Monday.
Did it?
Mm-hmm.
Because Troy Fumagalli was worked out on. You have three tight ends.
Yeah.
Jordan
Akins.
You brought
in two, right.
Akins wasn't hurt. So apparently, Kahale Waring wasn't hurt. Akins wasn't hurt. Fells wasn't hurt. You have three tight ends on the roster, and yet you brought in. On Saturday, they worked him out on the 10th. Was it the 10th or 12th? No, on the 12th. They worked out on the 12th, Troy Fumagalli. That's a Saturday. And they worked out, and they brought in Farrell Brown 4 days ago. So, or they brought him in even earlier as well. They knew what they were doing. Kahale Waring is coming along so slowly, and they even talk about mentally, he's lagging behind.
Mm.
That was just said the other day. He's lagging behind mentally. So, or in football IQ, quote unquote, I'm telling you, Aaron Reese said that from The Athletic yesterday. I'm telling you right now, they're having a hard time getting his football IQ up to snuff, which was the big concern coming out of a college. And because the guy is a great athlete with good size, they were already bringing tight ends after Thursday's game. They don't trust him. They just don't trust him. This doesn't have anything to do with an injury Monday. They were already working out tight ends.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing. They're going to hide him again for a little while. And I'm telling you, this may be a blown third-round pick. Lonnie Johnson may be a blown second-round pick. That's on Bill O'Brien, and that would also be on Brian Gaines' ticket, too. We give him credit for Titus Howard, who, by the way, stunk in the last game. Frank Clark annihilated him. So... that draft class needs to get a whole lot better now.
Well, he annihilated Fulton too.
Chris Jones. So he didn't annihilate. He didn't annihilate when he was matched up on Laramie Tunsil. Tunsil did a good job on Frank Clark. Chris Jones. They put Chris Jones. You want to talk about easy pickings?
Oh my God!
They put Chris Jones and Frank Clark on the same side as Fulton and Howard, and it, you know, lights out.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things, and Bill O'Brien actually talked about this, is the offensive line has got to play better. The offensive line was not good.
No.
That's where you've got all, look at your draft capital there. You gave up two firsts and a second for your left tackle. Your third, Sharping was a second or third? Sharping was a third, right?
Sharping was a third.
A third.
Yeah.
A second rounder for your center. You just gave $5 million more to Zach Fulton and a first rounder at right tackle. All of your draft capital is in that offensive line.
Yeah, it's got to be as good as we thought it was going to be and think it's going to be this year.
If that sucks, what? Now you got the Ravens.
Now, I will say, Frank Clark and Chris Jones are a nightmare. That's a nightmare matchup for you.
Yes, well, so is Matthew Judah.
But, yeah, Ravens aren't.
Calais Campbell.
Yeah,
yeah. Guess what's going to happen this week?
Yeah, Ravens aren't a fun matchup either.
Yeah.
Fun matchup for me is me versus the TV and sound system outside when I tell the kids, y'all stay in there, y'all can watch your show in there. And then what I do is I can sit outside on my patio, which I'm going to be basically living on as the humidity comes down. That's going to be my spot. I got to get my furniture all my, you know, I got to get everything all cleaned up because that's going to be my spot. The kids are going to be inside. I've got they have an AV guy that comes in. I'm going to tell you a little something very specific. They have an AV guy, Jonathan, at least he was when I had mine built. And he comes in and sets up your TV for you, sets up your receiver for you. This is part of the packages that you can have added where you get the surround sound with the receiver that I can play. It sounds unbelievable listening to television, watching the games. It's just fantastic. He gets everything set up for you, shows you how to do everything. And it is a little oasis. It's a little home away from the indoors. And I got two big fans out there to help cool down as well. My grill, my Memphis grill is out there. It's just a great spot. It's an outdoor living space, and you can even have an outdoor kitchen installed. You can get a fire pit installed. Go look at their work at Texas Custom Patios, and when you look at before and afters, you'll find out how they can turn your house into a home with a beautiful patio. You think that yours can't look as good? Just go look at the before and after and you'll be blown away. Your house can look the same as those before and afters. TexasCustomPatios.com.
At ESPN 97.5, we wear Boomer Naturals masks. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com and use promo code ESPN Houston for 20% off.